How Facebook's current challenge goes well beyond the apparent misuse of user data by a political consulting firm. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. As authorities on both sides of the Atlantic call for investigations into Facebook, the stock is down another 2.3% this morning after ticker symbol FB fell about 7% yesterday. Tens of billions of dollars of the social media company's paper value was wiped away. The catalyst, the unfolding story that a data analysis firm inappropriately harvested the info of millions of Facebook users to help the Trump campaign win the election. But the scale of this suggests investors are worried about more than the story at hand. Max Wolf follows the technology sector. He's chief economist at the Phoenix Group in New York.
To me, it looks a little bit like we might see the sort of end post of an era here. So the assumption that we get a good deal when we go on Facebook, we the great general public, because we get the free tools, and we kind of suspend our disbelief about how they make all that money, has come to the fore in a fairly nasty way, and it's gotten wrapped around some frayed nerves and controversy that has a lot to do with both who the president is now and how he came to be the president.
And you add to that these calls for probes, both in Europe and the United States, into Facebook. Facebook investors don't know what such probes, if they happen, might unearth.
No one likes the sound or feel of a probe, I don't think, on Wall Street or anywhere else. And I think the amount of anger coming both from Democrats and Republicans around this is pretty large. And I would also take folks back to the fact that Cambridge Analytica is not a firm without a fair amount of controversy. And it appears that one of the professors who did the initial study had an underling who handled the data who now works at Facebook. And that's going to kind of salt the wound for some.
And there is a corporate crisis management angle here. Facebook is not saying that much. The idea is they want to do their own internal investigation before speaking authoritatively. But clearly, the markets and officials and users are hungry for something from the company.
Yeah, I think we might be seeing a little bit of a misstep there. I think they need to get out in front of this, or at least not as far behind this as they already are. It's vaguely reminiscent of some difficulties around the IPO, which they waited too long to handle. So it's they got to do something quick. And I think this has already more than nullified the somewhat odd national goodwill tour that we saw from Mark Zuckerberg in the recent past.
Max Wolf, chief economist at the consulting firm The Phoenix Group in New York. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Published reports today suggest the White House is readying $60 billion in tariffs on Chinese products. Bloomberg News, for instance, says the import duties will hit everything from electronics to shoes. Details of the penalties designed to punish China for allowing the theft of the intellectual property of U.S. companies could come late in the week. We also have the former French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, brought into custody this morning amid allegations one of his campaigns received millions of euros in illegal money from the late Muammar Gaddafi, the leader of Libya at the time. And we haven't forgotten that the Federal Reserve, the U.S. Fed, meets in a few minutes to talk about how aggressively it's raising interest rates. Where do the members of the committee stand on the little graph of dots that signify where they think rates are going? Jeffrey Cleveland is the chief economist at Payden and Riegel in Los Angeles.
Right now, as we speak, the market puts about a 30% chance on 4 rate hikes this year. And so I'm most curious to see how that pricing changes after the meeting. And right now, the median dot, as we call it, for the median FOMC member, sees 3 rate hikes. So the question the markets want to ask is, does that raise to 4? And I think that has implications for short-term rates, for long-term rates, and that affects every listener's life, you know, through their mortgage payment. So it's a key question that we face today.
Interest rates, one 10-year benchmark is up at 2.88%. Now, one person was slightly hurt after a package exploded at a FedEx warehouse near San Antonio early this morning. Police are investigating amid a string of package bombs in the Austin area that has left 2 people dead and several others injured. Watching testimony in a Senate subcommittee later today about the biggest auto safety recall in U.S. history, the Takata airbags that degrade over time and can spew fatal shrapnel. Marketplace's Renata Sago has more.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says Takata's faulty airbags are responsible for 22 deaths worldwide and are linked to more than 200 injuries. The airbag's inflators can explode, releasing shrapnel. The government agency estimates 37 million vehicles from 19 car makers have bad airbags. As of February, just over 50% of the recalls had been repaired. David Friedman is director of cars and product policy for Consumers Union.
Some companies are doing everything they can, including going door to door and fixing these airbags in people's driveways. But many other automakers are doing the bare minimum.
That's sending notices to customers to come into the dealership. With Takata now bankrupt, the question is, who gets the bill?
Well, ultimately, the automakers that bought the airbags from Takata.
Michelle Krebs is with Auto Trader, an online marketplace for cars. The Highway Traffic Safety Agency says automakers are responsible for fixing deficits associated with their products. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
And the biggest public pension fund in the country is not dumping its stock in companies that sell assault-style weapons. It no longer invests in companies that make the firearms. The California Public Employees Retirement System has promised instead an in-depth review of the matter to be released in 2019. Four of the five companies in question have already stopped selling the rapid-fire rifles. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.